Because faith comes through hearing the message of Christ, this sermon has been uploaded for you by Grace Unlimited, a ministry that functions out of Living Hope Church, Pretoria, South Africa. We want Jesus Christ to have first place in everything in our church, and we want to help you know and follow Jesus in all of life, and to help others do the same. Find out more or download many more free sermons at graceunlimited.co.za or livinghopechurch.co.za.
Good morning, church. I want us to begin with a word of prayer before we go into our sermon for this morning. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that you are an amazing God. We thank you that you are holy, that you are gracious, you are loving, and that you've saved us from the misery of sin. We thank you that you've transferred us into the kingdom of your Son. And we ask that as we look at your word this morning, that we would honor you and glorify you with our hearts, that we would respond to your word faithfully, and that we would live lives that bring glory and honor to your name. And we pray for this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, church, please turn with me to Jude. And I'm going to begin reading from verse 3 of Jude, and then we'll jump on to from verse 20 all the way to the end of Jude. And so I just want to begin in this way by reading the third verse of Jude. So Jude 3. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now, brethren, this morning I want to talk about a call to contend for the faith. A call to contend for the faith. Now, we know that this letter has been written by Jude, who is the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jude is writing to this group of Christians who were under the attack, who were under trials, and who had their churches infiltrated by false teachers. And so Jude writes this letter to warn and to instruct. But one of the things we see in Jude is that his intention was actually to encourage this brethren about their common faith. But there's this other pressing matter that Jude wants to deal with. There's this other urgent concern that he wants to address. And it is for his hearers to contend for the faith. It is for his hearers to contend for the faith. And as we have seen in the fourth verse, that false teachers had infiltrated. They were a danger to Christians. They were teaching false doctrines. And Jude is writing to these believers to warn and to instruct them. Now, why must we listen to the message of Jude this morning? Why is this message so relevant to us? As we begin the year, as we face an uncertain future, why is this message so relevant to us? And first, this message is so relevant to us because Jude helps us by giving us an eternal perspective. The message of Jude helps us to see that the challenges, the trials, the uncertainties that we face now should not lead us into depression or despondency. So let me say that again. Jude helps us by showing us an eternal perspective. He shows us what God is doing in the world and what he will eventually accomplish in the world. So that as we face trials, challenges, uncertainties, problems in this life would not be despondent or discouraged or go into depression. Now, brethren, I want to call you to contend for the faith. And this is the message of Jude. It's to contend for the faith. He wants his hearers to know this. He wants his hearers to do this, to contend for the faith. And I want to read verse 3 again, and then we'll look at what it means to contend for the faith. He says, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints." Now, off the bat, Jude here wants his hearers to contend for the faith. And so to contend for the faith means that we must fight for truth. It means that we must know what we believe and why we believe it. Contending for the faith means that we must stick with the truth. Contending for the faith means we must never give up. We must stay strong and stay firm on the gospel truth. One who contends for the faith is one who is rooted in biblical truth. It means that we must not waver. We must not look to the side. It means that we must stand upon the solid truth of God's word. Now, how do we do this? How do we contend for the faith? Now, brethren, please come with me to verse 20. I want to launch from verse 20. And for the rest of our time this morning, I want to talk about a strategy for contending for the faith. A strategy for contending for the faith, beginning from verse 20. Now, verse 20 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life." Brethren, when we look at these verses, I want you to see three ways or three strategies that we can use to contend for the faith. Three strategies for contending for the faith. And first, remember your identity. Remember who you are. Now, where do we see that? Look at verse 20. Jude begins by saying, "But you, beloved." In how Jude calls these believers, we see that he hyperlinks actually this term, beloved, which is found in verse 20, which is found in verse 3, and it's also found in verse 1. Jude goes into detail telling us about the identity of these believers. And he says first that you are the beloved in God the Father. Beloved in God the Father. Brethren, if we are to win in contending for the faith, if we are to be successful in contending for the faith, we have to begin here by remembering who we are. Remember your identity. Remember who you are. We are beloved in God the Father. Believers are those who have experienced the love of God the Father. In 1 John 3:1, it says, "See what kind of love the Father has given for us, that we should be called the children of God." Romans 5, verse 8, it tells us that God demonstrates his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Remember your identity. You are God's beloved. And second, Jude calls these believers, he says they are the called. He says they are the called. Now look at verse 1. Look at how he describes these believers in verse 1. He says, "Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called." To those who are called. Brethren, believers are those who are called by the gospel message. In 2 Timothy 1, 8, it tells us that God has called us to a holy calling. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 to 14, that God chose us, that he called us through the gospel message. Know yourselves as those who are beloved and called. Believers are those who are set apart. Believers are those who are different, those who are separate. Colossians 1:13, it tells us that he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and he has transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Believers are those who are loved by God They are those who are called. And third, I want you to see that believers are those who are kept by God. Look at this verse continues in verse 1. To those who are called, who are beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. Kept for Jesus Christ. Believers are the kept. They're not just the kept, but they're those who are kept by God. In Jude 24, this idea comes again, that now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Believers are the preserved ones. They're the secured ones. The safe ones. Now, brethren, why is it important to remember our identity in this course of contending for the faith? Well, it's important because we were not always the objects of God's love and affection and mercy. We were sinners, deserving of the wrath of God. And looking at our condition apart from God, and looking at what God has done to save us, this has to stir up a heart that desires to honor God, that desires to be fully used by God, to be fully spent on God. Friends, we were born in sin, but now see what we are in Christ. See who we are in Christ. We are the beloved, we are the called, and we are the kept. And I want to encourage you, brethren, do not let your eyes move away from Christ. This is who you are in Christ. Our only hope is Christ. Christ the perfect, Christ the crucified, Christ the prophet, Christ the priest, Christ the king, Christ the risen, Christ the conqueror, Christ the savior, Christ the satisfaction, Christ the God-man. And brethren, we are resolved to preach Christ and Christ and Christ and nothing else but Christ, because salvation is found in no other name. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind which we must be saved. And if we are to gain victory in defending the faith, if we are to gain strong assurance in our faith, if we want to gain victory over sin, if we want to destroy all forms of complacency, if we want to avoid cynicism, if we want to conquer lethargy, we need to start here. Know who you are. Remember who you are. Be true to your identity. Act like it. We are the beloved, the called, the kept. And if we are to gain victory in contending for the faith, we need to start here. Remember who you are. Now, finally, in this section, brethren, I want you to observe what Jude calls himself. Look at verse 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ. Well, we've just looked at our identity in Christ, that we are the beloved, the called, the kept. And Jude adds another one. He says, he's a slave of Jesus Christ, a servant of Jesus Christ. So the question is, why does he do this? Why does Jude refer to himself as a slave of Christ? And brethren, it's because this is an appropriate response of someone who truly understands what it means to be the beloved, the called, and the kept of God. Brethren, Jude moves here from a mere technical understanding of these doctrinal truths to doxology. Well, we know that the last part of this letter is known as the doxology, but I want to argue that Jude is actually beginning with the doxology. Jude says, because God has loved me and he has called me and kept me, then I will praise him by offering my entire life to him. I'll be God's slave. And I want to urge you this morning that let us make this our resolve as we begin this year, that we would not just fill our minds with the truth of God's word, but our actions would show that we have truly understood what it means to be loved by God. Brethren, we need to start here. Know who you are. Remember who you are. Be true to your identity. Act like it. We are the beloved, we are the called, and we are the kept. Remember, we are asking this question. How do we contend for the faith? We are looking at a strategy for contending for the faith. And first, brethren, we've looked at remember who you are. Now, second, I want you to see persevere in loving God. Now, come with me to verse 20. Verse 20 of Jude, it reads as follows. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Brethren, second, the second way that we can grow and succeed in contending for the faith is that we must persevere in loving God. Persevere in loving God. The key thought and the particular command in this section of verses, verse 20 to 21, is found in verse 21, where it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. This is the main thrust and the main imperative. The other statements around it explain how we are going to do that. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, in other words, for us to fully grasp the thought and the argument, we need to start this the sentence this way. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And how? First, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, and waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Now, let us take each thought by itself and see what it means for us. Now, first, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. The command here is not to make yourself loved by God. Remember, you are God's beloved. The command is to live in such a way that shows that you love God. Now, how do we do this? And first, it tells us, build yourselves up. Build yourselves up. Look at verse 20. It says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. What does it mean to build yourself up? The image here is the image of a building or a wall. There's a proverb in Proverbs 25, verse 28. It says, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. And the point here is that a man without self-control is liable to attacks. Without this self-control wall around you, you are liable to attacks and you are exposed. And so I want you to see the same image here when it says build yourselves up. Note the emphasis in this verse. It doesn't just say build yourselves up, but it says where? Build yourselves up where? In your most holy faith. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Now, to put it in other words, it says, safeguard yourself with God's doctrine. Protect yourself with Bible truth. Stand firm on the doctrines of Scripture. Secure yourself with godly teaching. Keep yourself safe by using the truth from God. This is what it means to build yourself up in your most holy faith. Know what you believe and why you believe it. And so first, I want you to see how you can practically build yourself up in your most holy faith. First, know what you believe and why you believe it. Brethren, for us to really grow in contending for the faith, for us to be secure, to be firm, for us to be able to face the future with confidence, for us to not be drawn into despondency and discouragement, for us to not get into lethargy, for us to be diligent, we need to start here. Know what you believe and why you believe it. You need to diligently think right about the Christian faith and doctrine. Know what you believe and why you believe it. The emphasis here is not only to think right, but it's also to act right. We need to hold firmly to the Christian doctrine. We need to hold fast to the gospel truth. Now, brethren, do you know the answers to these questions? Who is God? How does God communicate with us? What is the chief end of man? What is your only hope in life and death? What is the gospel? Who is Jesus? How are men saved? What is the general message of the Bible? What is expected of a Christian in this life? Know what you believe and why you believe it. This is how you build yourself up. Know what you believe and why you believe it. Brethren, Christians must ooze the Bible. Christians must know why they believe the Bible. A Christian must know the content of the Bible. This is the only way we will contend for the faith and be firm. Now, do you believe that God is the creator and sustainer of everyone and everything? That God is eternal, is infinite, unchangeable in his power and perfection, goodness and glory, wisdom, justice and truth. And that nothing happens except through him and by his will. Do you believe that the Bible is the word of God and the only rule to direct us on how we may glorify God and enjoy him? Do you believe that your only hope in life and death is that you are not your own, but you belong in body and soul, both in life and death, to God and to your Savior, Jesus Christ? Do you believe that there are three persons in the one true and living God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Brethren, do you believe and understand what it means that God created us male and female in his own image to know him, to love him, to live with him, and to glorify him? And that it is right that we who were created by God should live for his glory. Brethren, do you believe and understand what it means that for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God? Do you believe and understand what it means that God demonstrates his love for us, that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us? Do you believe and understand what it means that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous? Brethren, we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. Here is the command: build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Now, here are some opportunities in the church to build yourself up. We have GCs, and I just want to ask, are you attending one? Do you prepare for it? Do you ask questions and interact? Do you really think a lot about the sermon and about how you're applying it in your life, and when you meet with other believers, how you can encourage one another about what you've learned from that sermon? Here are opportunities for building yourselves up in the church. Communicating clearly with the elders. Do you seek counsel from your leaders? We also have ABTC, where you can learn about systematic theology and biblical theology. Have you considered to attend this, perhaps this year, to sign up for this, so you can build yourself up? I want you to see, brethren, how the Christian life is not a passive life. You don't just believe and sit back. You have to do work. There's work that needs to happen. Perhaps you've been attending regularly with us. Have you thought about making a commitment to become a member of the church? This is how you build yourself up, not in isolation, but with the church, with a community of believers. Have you thought about pursuing counseling in the church? Or listening intently to sermons? And even serving in other ministries, pursuing godly friendships, pursuing accountability. And as the year begins, how about adopting a culture of reading? Not just reading, but reading good stuff. This is how we build ourselves up. Know what you believe. Know what you believe and why you believe it. Brethren, we also build ourselves up in this way. By refuting the false. By refuting the false. This one really flows logically out of the previous point. It's important to know what we believe. It's also important to know what we don't believe. And Jude reminds us that it has been prophesied that these false teachers would come. It's inevitable they would come. Verse 17, it says, "But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit." Jude is assuring us that you are going to have challenges, that there will be false teachers, and we need to know what they look like so we can refute them. So you build yourself up defensively by identifying the wrong and the false, and then resolving to refute it and avoiding it. Now, Jude gives us a profile here of a false teacher. And I want you to see from verse 4 how he describes these false teachers. In verse 4, he says, "These are the ungodly. They are morally perverted. They deny Christ." In verse 8, he says, "They defile the flesh. They are rebellious. They revile holy angels." In verse 10, he says, "They are dreamers. They are ignorant. They are corrupted." In verse 16, he says, "They are grumblers. They are fault finders. They are self-seeking, they are arrogant speakers, they are flatterers." In verse 18, he says they are mockers. Verse 19, they cause divisions, they are worldly minded, and they are without the Spirit. Now, as we refute these false teachers, we need to care for believers who are trapped in the lie and deception. And we do that by reaching out to those who are captured by this heresy. So when we look at verse 22 to verse 23, it says, "And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh." And so we must refute false teachers and also care for those who are entrapped in this snare of false teachers. So brethren, persevering in loving God means we must build ourselves up in the most holy faith. And we have seen what it looks like to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. And now it also means that we must pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Look at the progression of this passage from verse 20. "But you, beloved, are building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life." Now, persevering in loving God means praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, what does it mean to pray in the Holy Spirit? It means that you pray to God according to what God has revealed. It is someone who prays confidently, praying as one who has a great high priest. Praying as one who has an advocate with the Father. praying boldly, praying according to scripture, praying without ceasing. It is someone who prays. Listen to what Spurgeon says on prayer. He says, if anyone should ask me for a summary of the Christian religion, I should say it is in this one way, prayer. If I should be asked, what will it take in the whole of the Christian experience? I should answer, prayer. A man must have been convinced of sin before he could pray. He must have had some hope that there was mercy for him before he could pray. All the Christian virtues are locked up in one way, prayer. In troubled times, our best communion with God will be carried on by supplication. Tell him your case, search out his promise, and then plead with holy boldness. This is the best, the shortest, and the speediest way of relief. In Hebrews 4, it tells us, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a great high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, and yet without sin. And so this is our bold confidence. Let us then with confidence, or let us then with boldness, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive what? Mercy. And find grace to help in time of need. Living Hope, let's be a praying church. Let us be a praying church. Now, let us take the final thought in this section. Persevering in loving God means build yourself up in your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit, and finally, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Brethren, in other words, you can say, this means that we must look forward to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who truly love God live their lives now in light of eternity. We need to live as those who are longing for the return of the King. 1 John 3:2, it tells us this. It says, beloved, we are God's children now, and what will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Brethren, this is what the theologians call the beatific vision, or the blessed vision, the happiest sight, the return of Jesus Christ. This is when believers will gaze upon his face and see his glory. We will see him as he is. This is understood as the ultimate end and purpose of human nature. This is what we were created for, to dwell in the presence of God and enjoy him forever. Isaac Watts calls it the quintessence of happiness. Listen to how Revelation 1 describes this event. It says, then I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be no mourning, no crying, no pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Brethren, are you living for the now? Do you long for this day? Do you long for this day? May this eternal perspective give you courage and comfort as you face your current struggles, as you face your current trials, your current pain, temptations. May this eternal perspective help you and guide you through that. Look at verse 3 again of Revelation 21. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Brethren, we are looking at a strategy for contending for the faith. And we've seen that to conquer, we must remember who we are. We must persevere in loving God. And finally, rest in God's security. Rest in God's security. Look at verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Brethren, for us to conquer, for us to truly contend for the faith, rest in God's security. Rest in God's security. We've come to the doxology of Jude. And at this point, we must ask this question. What is the connection between the core message of Jude and this doxology? We have seen that Jude has told us what is to contend for the faith. He has also told us how must we contend for the faith. Jude has placed a strong emphasis on perseverance. And now he comes to the doxology to encourage us and assure us. This is his concluding remarks. Rest in God's security because you are joyously preserved. Rest in God's security because you are joyously preserved. In verse 1, Jude starts by reminding us of our identity, our security in Christ, and our total assurance of salvation. And Jude picks up the same theme as he closes this letter. Jude reiterates and emphasizes our total security in God. Look at verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to protect you and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Now, did you notice God wants to do this with great joy? Brethren, Jude says, stay put, stay strong, stay bold, stay firm, contend for the faith, contend, oh dear brethren, because victory is certain. Jude is saying here, stick with this faith in Christ because this one is forever. Jude is saying, stick with this one because this one has God's endorsement on it. Jude says, stick with this one because there is no other salvation apart from this one. Other faiths may offer heaven, but it's only God through Christ who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Now then Jude says, go on. Put in the work, put in the effort, stay firm. Because you are preserved. Spurgeon also puts it this way. He says, remember, it's not your hold on Christ that saves you. It is Christ. It's not your joy in Christ that saves you. It is Christ. It is Christ's blood and merits. Look not so much to your hand as the one that's holding on to Christ, but to Christ's hand as grasping onto yours. Look not to your hope, but to Jesus, the source of your hope. We will never find happiness by looking at our prayers, our doings, our feelings. It is what Jesus is, not what we are, that gives rest to the soul. Well, if we desire at once to overcome Satan and have peace with God, it must be by looking unto Jesus. Keep your eye simply on him. Let his death, his sufferings, his merits, his glories, his intercessions be fresh upon your mind. Brethren, don't let your fears come between you and Jesus. Follow hard after him, and he will never fail you. As the hymn puts it, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And brethren, this should be our response, a response of doxology, looking at what God has done for us, looking at the challenges that we might face in the future. The message of Jude stands, and it says, contend for the faith. Stay firm on the faith. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word. We ask that you help us to be doers of your word. May we contend for the faith and love you and honor you in all things. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.